At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
We were talking about smoking pot. And you said you started later in life.
Yeah, I started later in life. I was 31 years old, and I never wanted to do it. And the reason why I was also saying I never smoked cigarettes is because I never wanted nigga lips. Like, I mean, you see dark-skinned dudes with dark-skinned-ass smoker lips, man, I'd be like, I don't want that
shit. Smoker lips
shit.
Are, like, super pink on the inside, right? But, like...
Yeah, it's when the tar gets on your lip, and then it just discolors it.
Yeah.
And it's like little burns, right?
Yeah, sometimes that's cracked. Sound mm-hmm. like though, man.
No,
which
man.
Is
we
also
begin,
bad.
We
which is
more,
also which is, equally.
Yeah, if not if more, not. If not more,
little blunt yeah. burns. It's happened.
It's pretty bad as well. Crack is pretty bad as well. I would say it's a different category, but still parallel.
So what made you, you said you didn't mm-hmm. want the nigga lips, and then you said 31, yeah. you good?
So what happened was edibles started coming around.
Mm.
So okay. edibles was the same thing without the nigga lips. So I was like, bet. So as I started doing edibles, and I was like, I like the creativity I get from being high mm-hmm. is on a whole nother level. And so I get to start going, you know, you start hanging out at the comedy clubs. Mm-hmm. And this is my Dave Chappelle story. So Dave is one of those people that will, when he, you can have a whole night planned and promoted. Mm-hmm. Dave will call like 30 minutes before.
Cancel
your shit.
That's happened more than once?
Whoa.
It's happened to me. I was set to do the Netflix as a joke
right.
thing.
But I thought that was just a crazy thing that happened.
This was the very next night after he did his days at the Forum, after the guy ran on stage, Nichelle had a showcase for us off the Netflix is a joke. We're all excited because we're like, yo, they people getting specials off of this. So they just ready to rip. We get a text from Nichelle like, the show can't go on tonight. They had to make a last minute change, and then we found out later that Dave Chappelle. I was at the Tupac thing they had downtown.
Yeah,
they had that big,
and
I got that text, and I was like, "What?" It was like, "Yeah, Dave called, and he said he wants the room for the night."
That wasn't the same show. Y'all not talking about the same show?
No, this isn't happened just once or twice. This happens.
Damn.
That's it's kind of what comes with it a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, when you're the biggest, one of the biggest names in comedy.
It's
like,
Dave.
Who's going to tell Dave no?
Yeah.
No?
When I went to the Forum for Dave and Chris Rock's pop-up show, that was just a pop-up show. That wasn't even the show that they had planned, and it got like 10,000 people on a pop-up.
Pop-up. What you going to do? Who's going to be the person to tell Dave Chappelle no? I mean, I was upset about it, but at the end of the day, it's like, you want to be the comedy club that Dave Chappelle says, you know, never work again in L.A.? You want to be that person?
You
want to
be that person.
I get it.
So me and Ron Taylor was promoting this show, Black Guys with Glasses. We've been promoting this show for a whole entire fucking month, bro.
Damn.
We doing everything. And so we get there, we get it, whatever. Richie, who is the manager at the Comedy Store, says, hey, Willie, Ron, the show can't happen. We like, why? What happened? We sold 20 tickets. Like we made our limit.
Oh, Chappelle got y'all about
wait a minute. Hold on, wait a minute. Okay, that kind of changes things, Willie. That
you gotta
if
you gotta
it was
leave
just
with
20. That kind of changes things. See, we had a packed
house. There might have been some walk-ins.
I'll give you 26. But even still, Dave was like, I'll pay these niggas the money for 26 people.
They said, we'll bet on Chappelle selling more in 30 minutes. Let's give Chappelle 25 minutes.
They canceled this shit 10 minutes before. I'm like, we're not worried. We're Chappelle's here.
They would have canceled us in mid-show. Oh, lit me early.
Hey, guys, welcome. Oh, time to get off? Okay, great. Thank you guys so much for coming out. That's been my time.
That might have been worse.
Because they didn't got their drink orders in. She's still on break.
All we said was you would see black guys with glasses.
We didn't promise anything else.
We didn't promise anything else.
Nigga, look. Check in, check out.
And now you get Chappelle. You got to repay for the tickets, but now you get Chappelle.
Chappelle would have been the type, though, if he had did that, he would have let him stay. Yeah. He would have just, like, I will say this. I've only seen him live once, and it was in the belly room. And he came, bumped some comics, but it was like, hey, nigga, I got bumped by Chappelle. Even that is a badge of honor. Mm-hmm. So he goes on stage, he's still doing his thing, he's smoking, you know, just typical Chappelle. And of course, he's like, you know, the phone shit, he ate the phone shit, all that type of shit. I just did a little spiel about that. And then probably like 5 minutes after that, my phone goes off. Like, this is the alarm. This is the timer, though, right? Yeah. And so I'm like, he's like, God damn, man. I'm like, hey, it's my timer to let me know I need to put some money in the meter or, you know, move my car. He was like, all right, go ahead and move your car. I was like, I've never seen you before. I'm staying here. He was like, hey, go move your car. I was like, nah, it's okay. I'll stay. He was like, well, let me pay for your ticket. And I was like, nah, I don't need to pay for my ticket. Like, come on, man, get money. He pulls out a wad of hundreds, right? It wasn't like a let me, you know, get to the hundreds or something. Wad of hundreds. 100 on the front, one on the back, and then 100 hundreds in between, right? Just gives me a $100 bill, finishes the show. I go back and sit down. I get out to the car. Definitely had a ticket, but man. I was not using that $100 bill. I have the ticket and the $100 bill framed in there in my office.
Oh, you never paid the ticket?
I paid it. I paid it with my card. I couldn't pay it with $100 anyway. Like, you got to, you know, do it online. But
it's a cool-ass story.
It was dope of him to do that. It was really dope of him to do that. So, like, this happened.
The gesture.
This happened before he called and canceled our show, and I was a little upset, a little perturbed about it. But at the end of the day, still fucking Chappelle.
He gave you 100.
He's still
fucking Chappelle, bro.
Well, we didn't get 100. So, so they canceled us. I'm pissed, and I go to the, like, there's like a little back part of the comedy store where everybody's smoking. So people trying to pass me weed. I'm like, nah, man, I don't want that, man. I ain't smoking. And so Richie's like, let's go to the VIP bar of the comedy store. I'll get y'all a drink. I'm like, cool. So it's me, my boy Pap Johnson, his girl, and Richie. And so we back there, and I'm drinking, and I'm talking shit. Because this is the second time Dave has canceled the show.
For you?
No. Well, I was Crack 'Em Up was one of them. Uh-huh. And this is just, and then it was ours. So I'm talking to all this shit.
He's a super
Dave.
Villain to some comics. Dave! Homie, homie. Laughs. Nigga did a laugh ball.
Laughing ballsy.
Oh, shit.
So Richie's pouring us these drinks, and I'm talking shit, man. I'm like, yeah, man, fuck Dave, is what I said.
It's what
opens
I said.
Opens the door.
It's what I said.
The door opens. Oh, it's him. Fucking Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. What's up, Richie? I fangirl clean the fuck out.
Ah,
bro.
You pussy.
I pussy clean the fuck out. He sits down. We talking about him possibly sponsoring one of the basketball teams in the comedy league. I'm over, yeah, Dave, yeah. So he rolls up this blunt, right? He hits it.
Willie's panties got so wet.
The fact that fuck Dave was the last thing you said.
He stood up and all you heard was, that was the sound of Willie walking out the room after Dave.
Crying
that
a
is
river.
Hilarious.
Don't go, Willie Waterfall.
So he's talking about the basketball team.
He rolls a blunt.
He rolls his blunt.
Uh-huh.
He's like, he hits it. He's like, Pap, you want to hit it? Pap hits it. And he looks at me. I grab that shit. Yeah.
He made you switch and smoke.
Man.
He didn't even offer it. You just grabbed it?
No. He was offering. Okay. You know, he was. He was like, I was like, oh, hell yeah, man. And I smoked, and that's how I smoked my first blunt. So then,
damn,
I, you know, they smoking. Now the word has got out that he's here. Norm McDonald comes into the VIP room, the Tory brothers, it's just like everybody, that's everybody. And I'm sitting here talking to Guy Tory, and I'm like,
St. Louis.
And it's now packed with everybody. And Richie's like, y'all can stay. We was like, oh, hell yeah. So we back there. I'm talking to Guy. And this is talking about St. Louis, and he's like, what's wrong with younger comedians is like, it's not a lot of solidarity. He's like, y'all should be putting these projects in short film festivals instead of just making them sketches and throwing them online. That way it changes your resume up some. And that's what the conversation we had. And I remember just doing this, like closing my eyes. I'm closing my eyes. And it was like one of those long blinks. And I said, all right, hey, I'll be right back, Guy. I go to the back of the Comedy Store in that outdoor area. I close my eyes, just, you know, because I'm like, I got to rest. I'm fucked up.
Yeah. You just hit it. You just hit it once, right?
And it was Dave's.
I was about to say, there's no way Dave Chappelle smokes
weed.
Mid.
Regular weed. Absolutely not. This weed was the strong. This the highest high that I have ever been. I open, I get waked up by Richie. Richie wakes me up. Hey, hey, Willie, hey, you got to get up. It's time to go. I was like, oh, man. All right, what time is Dave going up? He's like, Willie, you've been, it's 3 a.m. I passed out
you
in the back.
Show.
I missed the show. They were cleaning up when I was walking out.
So were they sitting around you?
No, no, no.
Yeah, like walked out the room back to like the little smoking area where no one was at.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you were in the green room. Okay.
No, 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 no. I wasn't in the green room. Now, I went to the back, just closed my eyes, I thought, but knocked out for like 3.5-4 hours.
Yeah.
That was Dave's plan. He.
So you think I don't like him out now before the show? You made me miss the opportunity to see you.
He knocked you out. It was like, thought you were going to get in a free show, nigga?
What if that was what Martin was talking about the whole time? Like, just getting this weed, making a pass out. Now you forgot about racism.
That's wow. That is
insane. That nigga beat you non-violently.
Story.
That is, that's how, well, not how, but when I smoked weed first time out here, it was with Snoop Dogg. And I was at a comedy show that John A. was throwing. She was hosting. She had partnered with this weed company. And they were starting late. I was like, fucking weed heads, right? And so the comedy, the place, the venue had like an outside porch, but it was encased. It was enclosed.
Yeah.
So I go out there, and it's just these, like, picnic-style tables all over this encasing. And Snoop is sitting at one. He's sitting at, the head of one, and he's just rolling joint after blunt after blunt, right? And so I'll make my way over there. I sit next to somebody. So I'm about two people away from Snoop. And I was planning on just sitting there because, you know, conversation's good. And he hits it and he passes it down. And he just keep passing it. It was like, fuck, I'm going to have to hit this. So the first one was something called God's Gift. Blocked every blessing that I had coming to me that night. Then he rolls another blunt. And that one was like his weed, his strain of weed. And then I hit that. And like, my only thought is like, don't cough. So on the first one, God's Gift, I was good. I hit it.
Hell nah.
Then hit it again.
Yeah.
Then he passed it. Let that shit go, right?
Yeah.
And then on the second one, hit it again, pass it. Now, I felt the cough coming. Because, you know, as soon as you hit that cough, that's when the high activates. As soon as you, that high is like.
And more coughs.
It gets worse as you try to hold it.
More coughs activate, too.
Man, so I'm good. I stand up, and as I'm standing up, I cough. I was like, fuck. I feel my ears getting hot. I'm like, oh, this shit's on the way. Right, how you know when your ears got high? That high is on the fucking way, bro. I got high so fast. I had to find Johnny and tell her, "Hey, I can't perform.
No,
I'm too high." Right, I leave immediately because I was like, "It's only gonna get worse from here." Like, it's not even 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like 5 minutes. So I'm walking to the car, and by the time I'm walking down, I don't know if it was the altitude or what, but just the movement, I'm high as fuck. By the time I get to the sidewalk. I'm so high. I am walking down the street. I get to my car, man. And I'm sitting in the car. And I told you before, I lower the vanity mirror, and I cover my eyes, and I start giggling to myself. Because I think I'm invisible. I think I'm invisible to the point where I get out the car, and I'm walking down the street thinking nobody can even see me.
right? That's how fucking high.
That would have been so cool to see walk past the car and see Tahir doing that.
Right. I'm like, nigga, it took 28 years for me to get my special power, but now I'm high and I unlocked it. I don't know. I thought the weed had unlocked that shit. Bro, I'm so fucked up. I realize what the fuck I'm doing. Then it strikes me. I can see myself because I have my eyes covered. Yeah, right? I have my eyes covered when I'm looking in the mirror. I get back in the car. I sit in the back seat. I call my guy's sister on my cell phone. She had just moved out here. I say, come get me. I'm not in a good place. He said, where are you
at? What time was it?
Bro, it had to be like 8 or 9. Now, she had just moved to town, right? The people she drove to town with, they with her, they all at Roscoe's. Yeah. It's like, we just got seated at Roscoe's. Mm-hmm. It's going to be about an hour and a half. I was like, take your time.
Mm.
Call me every 30 minutes to make sure I'm not dead. I've never been high like this before. Nigga, I was gone. And I vowed to never smoke with Snoop and Kid.
What's crazy is he smoked before and after that too. In both scenarios, that like blunts were being smoked, and that was just one hit, and they were smoking that weed all day.
Mm-hmm.
How are you built like that? That's not even fair. That's crazy different.
It's not even fair.
I don't even want my tolerance that high.
It must be hard to keep up with, because yeah. I don't feel like, or they have a lot of rich friends, but it doesn't seem like the casual people are getting that high on any day.
No, you have to.
That's like I'm not doing anything on vacation type of high.
I've had to talk to my son because he smokes a lot, and a lot, and he.
What's a lot?
Hey yo. You wanna hit this?
His son always throws everything with hey yo. They got a podcast together. He be like, hey yo. You ever been sprung before?
Hey, yo.
Looks like a light-skinned version of her. Everything looks like a light-skinned version of her. Yo, it's crazy.
That's my boy, man. So they changed up the words for some shit. So he wakes me up one morning. He's like, hey, Dad, you want this morning wood? And I'm like, what?
No.
He's like, you want this morning wood? And I'm like, I must still be fucked up.
Because that's what they call it, a backwood? They show it a backwood and say wood?
So when you smoke a backwood that you left from overnight and you still have some left, it's called a morning wood.
I've never heard that.
It ain't gonna be. Let alone passing it to my dad. That's only going to the chick I'm smashing.
You trying to smoke this morning wood?
Yeah, you better hit this shit while you riding me and ash on my chest.
What you do this morning? Oh, me and my son had a morning wood together.
We shared morning wood? You're going to jail, bucko.
You hit this morning wood is wild.
You're going to jail, bucko, immediately.
Hit this morning wood is wild business.
No, sir. I am good.
We got to change that.
It's a wake and bake is the proper term for that.
Yes. Wake and bake.
Yes. That's what we... Yeah,
but
that's
the
what
thing is, words just change.
Oh, I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday. Like, I can't get with a lot of this new slang because at one point they'd be calling extended clips dicks.
Glock got a dick in it.
Yeah, Glock got a dick. When I up that dick on you, first of all, I don't even know your name, young man.
Two dicks in my pants.
Yeah, whoa, hey, I'm calling the cops.
That's scary.
This young man is out here soliciting dicks.
You are trying
to scare. If you open up that trunk or the glove compartment, I guarantee you're going to find a lot of dicks in there.
Glock got a dick on it.
Yeah. No, that's not. And I don't know who. It's not even from a homophobic place. But like, but why would you do that? Don't take this sexual thing and make it violent like that.
You put a dick on your weapon?
Used to mean fighting.
Huh?
Tossing, like, you know, you tossing a salad.
I never heard that, and we're from the same place. I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm from Arkansas. I was born in Arkansas, raised in St. Louis.
Okay.
So people were like, meet me out back, we tossing the salad?
Yeah, I've heard tussle.
I've heard.
Are you sure it was toss and not
I've
tussle?
I've heard salad before. Salad is like a mix of strains, what I've been heard. It's like, it's the leftover weed that you mix together.
Wait,
he's talking about fighting.
He's talking about a fight.
Where did you come from?
I dropped in on this
one.
Let's go.
That's Syracuse. That's the East Coast.
He's still on Dave Chappelle's story. He's like, so Dave did what next? He's like, what?
I got a contact high from the story.
He got a contact high from the story.
People excusing themselves to toss the salad is crazy. And I don't know who would change that from fight to eating booty.
I'm glad it never caught on. Mm-hmm. It's just some old uncle shit. My uncle
How would they say it? Like a spelling bee. Like, use it in a sentence.
Hey, did you? I heard you was arguing with that dude at school. Did you toss his salad?
Yeah, that's not okay.
You switched the his, toss his salad specific?
Well, or y'all I'm just using it in a sentence.
Whoever you're fighting.
Yeah. But I thought it was just we both were tossing the salad, not did you toss his salad.
Oh, wow. Specific.
Yeah. So it's like you are mixing him up. That motion doing.
No, that's okay.
Motion's doing nothing.
That is very misleading. That is very misleading.
Fight, you do this? Don't you do this when
you toss his salad? Did you toss his salad?
No.
That's wild. If we didn't know about the eating booty, that still sounds weird.
That sounds very weird.
That's
not okay with that.
I don't mix.
Something that we say right now is going to change.
Yeah.
Decades from later.
I watched this show called Solar Opposites.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
the cartoon.
It's like Rick and Morty created.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And the chick on there, the little girl on there, she was trying to get budget to like pop off as like basic. Right, and she was like,
"Oh, like you budget?"
I was like, "Oh, that shit is so budget." And I was like,
"I like it."
And that's some kind of fire.
Yeah, I like that.
It's kind of cool.
You out here fucking with these budget ass bitches, bro?
Bitches,
that shit
budget.
Go hard though. That's
budget that was, bitches. That sounds budget better than basic. Bitches.
Yeah, I'm getting that shit going.
Budget,
yeah, budget
bitches.
Y'all out here off budget ass.
One that I heard that's similar to what you're saying that I heard is kind of cool is basement. Like they're like, that's a basement nigga right there. Like, that nigga just, like, he belongs in the basement. Like, he ain't doing nothing with himself. Like, he's staying in his mama's basement.
Okay. Like, I see the connection to it. It's just a lot. Anytime it's got three syllables, it don't really roll off
basement
your tongue like that.
Basement.
Now, you right.
Now, how we say basement.
You can say some shit is basement, too. Like, man, that shit basement.
That shit basement is fuck, boy.
We I got like two, budget, though.
Two B words cracking.
Yeah, I like budget.
I didn't know until just now. I mean, I know that the kids are saying risen you up. I thought that meant just spitting game and shit, but I guess that's a play on the word charisma. I did not know that. Did y'all know that one? Risen?
Risma.
No. Kids are saying risen. Riz master, got the riz, all that.
I didn't even know there was a thing over there to even look at.
It do me. The comments?
Oh, hippie.
That's it does mean swag, but that's the thing. That's how we know we getting old, because our word's on the way out.
Bussin' means like some food is good, like that's
delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Delicious.
I just found that out.
I was talking to somebody, and they were saying you couldn't say food was either bussin' or slapping. One of them.
Oh yeah, I hate that. I be getting that, because I be saying food slaps, and they say food smacks, music slaps.
Mm.
Food smacks. Music slaps, and if you
where do you learn this though?
E40
saying that food be smacking though doesn't.
But
sound
I would be so
good.
Fucked up.
Doesn't sound like slapping what? Sounds better than smacking.
Like slap
food.
Your mama good. That's
right,
what I thought it was.
Yeah.
But they say that music got a slap, food got a smack, and if you get it mixed up, E40 comes out of nowhere and beats you.
it took me a while to stop saying "cuz" out here.
Oh, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't do that, even if they're your cousin. Don't do that. And I know niggas in the South used to say, "What's up, young blood and blood?" And
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what we said. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy because, like, when you come from another city, there is no pamphlet or, like, you know, just a quick review guide of what you can and can't say / where / go. And it really should be. It should be somebody at
Man,
the airport.
For real.
And, oh, are you new to LA? Great. Take this pamphlet. It's a survival guide.
Mm-hmm.
What hats you can and can't wear.
Man.
Abandon all sports loving out
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Don't
Mariners
even show
you can wear. You can wear the LA hat. An array of colors, and by array, black or blue,
yeah,
is acceptable, and everything else is at your own risk.
Everything I would, else. Man, get you. Just get a haircut. get a haircut. I literally, when I was in college, I just started wearing hockey hats, and I don't know if there's any updates from that, but from middle school to high school, I just couldn't like.
I feel these games need
sports.
A sergeant of arms, and they also need somebody to collect minutes at these meetings because we need to be updated as mm-hmm. citizens so that we are not unintentionally being disrespectful. All
yeah,
right, so I'm just going to recommend
own.
That. That's what I'm pushing for. Games to like follow Robert Rules of Orders, get a sergeant of arms, get somebody to collect minutes, a president and a vice president, and after the first year, you get you a president emeritus to kind of oversee things and make sure it goes correctly. But that's what you need. Like, that's
so
going to be. That's what we need.
Now you got me thinking like they need a G7 meeting, like all the gangs just sit together and here's what we can say, say what we gonna put this together.
That's a massacre waiting to happen. They already hate each other. Now they're gonna be
Italian correcting each other.
Correcting each other.
You need that, man. It's the only way that we could get through this because it's a lot of like unintentional disrespect that happens, and it's like I didn't know. Like I was just walking, bro.
I just liked stingrays.
Nope.
I just like stingrays.
I wish you would like a stingray on Crenshaw.
And... You wear that hat or that shirt in the wrong area.
Ooh, man, stingray.
That's why my favorite hat was the Pittsburgh Penguins. I was like, nobody has hockey, I hope.
Man, you got that big P on walking down
the
street.
No, not that. It was a penguin.
Oh, that's right.
It was a penguin.
You're thinking
of the Pirates.
I'm thinking about the Pirates. You're right.
Not that one either, guys.
Definitely just, not that one.
Just don't like sports outwardly out here.
When I first moved out here, I found a barber on Crenshaw. Mm-hmm. Crenshaw and Rodeo. Mm-hmm. And he used to always wear the Washington hat, the mm-hmm. W. Mm-hmm. And one day I just asked him, I was like, hey, man.
You a sports guy?
What that hat stand for? He was just like, he was cutting my hair when I asked. He was like, and just kept going. Never answered the question. And the fact that he locked eyes with me and then laughed, I was like, all right, leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
And the only reason I was asking is so I would be aware when I see people out, like, all right, I'm not, nod and be like, hey, I know what you're a part of.
Yeah.
Right? But I just left it alone after that. I didn't know. And I actually found a barber in Hollywood. I was like, you know what?
I don't need this kind of energy.
I started going to Great Clips.
Yeah, we're not geographically compatible when it comes to like me coming all the way over here.
But you unknowingly put him in a potentially life-threatening scenario. I mean, he was already wearing the hat, but you put him in a position where he's like, I gotta say where I'm from.
Well, here's the thing.
In the fullest form, and you don't know anybody who
it
says
it. It was just me and him in the barbershop at that time.
Oh, really?
It was just me and him, so I was like, you could have told me. But the fact that he didn't, I was just like, I'm gonna leave it alone.
He's like, I'm on the clock.
I'm on the clock. You know? And I appreciate the professionalism.
Thank you.
It was very
professional. Some things I don't need to know. It ain't for me. So, I will say this. Moving out here was very much an adjustment.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times I had to go back home to get that recharge because anytime you do something like that, you feel just not yourself. And if you've been feeling not yourself, I want to let you know that this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is amazing. Right? First of all, therapy in itself is amazing, and BetterHelp makes therapy so easy because you have so many options when it comes to it. First of all, you sign up online, you complete a survey, and you are you are paired with a licensed therapist within under 48 hours, which is completely unheard of. You can do your sessions from anywhere in the world. You can log in anywhere in the world, and you don't have to do just FaceTime or video chat. You could just do chatting via text. You could do a phone call. It makes it so easy. And if for some reason, if you're not meshing well with your assigned licensed professional therapist, you can get a new therapist in the same amount of time and no additional charge to you. I'm very big on mental health, especially in the Black and Brown community. Mm-hmm. We grew up a lot of time in houses where we were told you don't talk about family business outside of this mm-hmm. house. But you know what? Sometimes you got to talk about family business outside of that house. Sometimes it's healthy for you to talk about family business outside of that house. Sometimes it's healthy for you just to talk. Sometimes you just need somebody to talk to and listen who has no bias towards you. And therapy could definitely help you do that. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so that you can keep supporting others. A lot of times, you're the strong friend in your group, and you don't realize that you need to take time out because strong friends need strong friends too. Mm. The same way that therapists need therapists. There are tons of therapists who only work with therapists. So if these people are licensed and they're professional enough to handle your problems and they still have to go see somebody, what makes you think that you are so equipped and so strong that you don't need to talk to somebody? Let it go. This isn't an ego thing. This isn't a strength thing. This is about your best well-being. So if I'm telling you all this, you guys already know that we have a hookup for you because that's what we do. So I want you guys to go check out betterhelp.com/DIYS today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DIYS, and get 10% off your first month.
It's a great ad.
Really good.
Slide that thing on in there.
Yeah, I use BetterHelp.
Do you really?
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. They were solid. And it's like my therapist is in like New Orleans and cool person to talk to because I'm the big bro for all my friends. Mm-hmm. I'm the one, and my thought was always like, who saved Superman? Because I'm like, I'm struggling. And like you're saying, like, I'm a preacher's kid.
Yeah.
So we were just talking, just pray.
Yes.
I'm like, I did that daily. 4 times, actually. And it's like 8 a.m. And it's like, I'm tired of praying. I mean, hey. I'm going to keep praying.
Yes.
But right now, I need somebody to talk
God may not get back to you until 5 to 10 business days. Waiting so you list. Praying on something waiting for an immediate answer. You got 5 to 10 business days.
He backed up?
Yeah, he backed up. His Y'all assistant is on vacation.
That's crazy.
You know, by the time his sister come back, he goes on vacation. You know what I'm saying? He had to take 3 days off. It was April. You know, so it was like, you know, sometimes you need somebody to talk to.
If he did have a prayer, like, cue, would people who don't really believe in him like that be kind of...
Oh, yeah, you'd be so far down my cue, bro. You don't even pay me tithes?
If you like a adjacent religion
if you're not subscribed to Christ, you have to subscribe to the hotline. Like, if you're not a full-fledged... acknowledging Christian, then you ain't jumping the line. You first of all, you gotta sign up for it. Yeah. I know somebody on the inside. You know what I mean? So I'm already connected. I can walk straight in. Amen. But you, we don't know you, bro. You ain't looking familiar.
Look at you. You go then. LA questions your Christianity too.
How like, so?
Okay. Let's say we both want this water. I'm gonna call this water. It's a roll. It's a roll. Now we all feel like we did good. Now we're all praying for this roll.
Mm-hmm.
So if God doesn't answer
so
many
saying.
Times, you just like, you know what? I'm not going to pray as much.
No, think about timelines, though. Multiverse. All right. So this is the role. We all go for it, right? God gives it to you and doesn't give it to us because of something else for us. He gave it to you because your timeline went that way. So technically, all three prayers were answered, but... you got the role.
but we thirsty right now. See, I ain't thirsty 5 years from now. I'm thirsty now.
Hey, man, Moses had to part a whole ocean. Then he had to walk through it. You got to work for it, you know?
You got that little cough that you got. You need that water. It's not your turn.
Hey, man, L.A. will either jade you or get you closer to God. That's what I feel.
And it started with jading, and then I started to understand things a little bit more. And when I pulled back and was like, you know what? Life be lifing.
It does.
I can't control nothing.
Listen, you're
but
alone for the ride.
A lot at the same time. I'm alone for the ride. So that's when I was like, all right, God, I'm just going to watch.
Life is a balance of you being in the ocean in a raft with an oar. And sometimes that sea is going to be smooth sailing, and the sun is out, and the sea is smooth, and you can get to the direction you need. And sometimes that shit is a fucking storm.
Whooping your
you
ass.
Just got to hold on for dear life and trust that it's going to play out, you know. And I feel like the rewards go to those that can endure, and that's not telling people to sit and suffer. But you know, there are sometimes like I was talking to my boy Dion. I was like, man, there have been a lot of people in my life, not a lot, but a number of people in my life that I realized. Going into this year that, you know, their presence didn't serve me and I wasn't able to serve them. And I've had to kind of fall back on it, whether they were bringing the wrong energy to my life or I noticed that they or those people that always have something negative say or trying to call you something negative and that brings your energy down or whatever it is.
Energy but, vampires.
I'm in a way different place right now than I was last year. And that's a lot of blessings, and I feel like those blessings have come because I didn't continue to do the same things I was doing last year. I made some hard decisions where it required me removing people from my life. I made hard decisions whether it was like, I'm not going to go to the club tonight. I'm going to go home. I'm going to study this audition more to make sure I give it my all and I don't just mail it in.
Nice.
I'm not going to take this trip for this show that's going to just get me $500. I'll miss out on this $500, and missing out on the $500 made me available to get a show that was going to pay me $2,500.
Nice.
And so I had to put myself sometimes in uncomfortable situations which I feel like you have to do to witness your greatness. When you move out here and you only got $500, $1,500, $3,000 in your bank account and your rent is basically $3,000, you put yourself against the wall. Mm-hmm. But when you're against that wall, you are challenged to come up with the best and the most creative decision to fight for your life. That's when that fight or flight kicks in and you either going to go back home or you going to figure that shit the fuck out.
How long you been here?
I've been here since 09. Since 09.
I moved here 04. Right after high school, I was like, I'm out. Did college here. We didn't get paid to be on college here. We got $950 for that entire season. Maybe around 2008, I started doing clinical trials. Have you ever done clinical trials?
Shit. Wait What's a that? Second. Wait. Before What's you that? Witness that. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a father, a business owner, a property owner, a comedian, actor, and content creator on the show. He's also from my hometown, St. Louis, Missouri, and he is just a dope-ass motherfucker. Ladies and gentlemen, you've seen his commercials, you've seen his set, you've seen his show on HGTV with him and his brother, Brian Property, and flipping it, one of the only black lead shows on HGTV.
Crazy.
Welcome to the show, my homeboy, motherfucker, Willie Man!
And we did that late. We got right into it.
We did. We was talking about black nigga lips.
It's an interesting guy.
Couldn't glaze over that. Hey, roll the tape.
35 minutes in. And a Dave Chappelle, two back-to-back Chappelle stories that were just...
So you're doing clinical trials. This is where he's taking medicine or food or drinks that the FDA has not approved yet. To see what the effect is on human trials.
Yeah, I was a human guinea pig.
Whoa.
So, like, they had one for, like, this Alzheimer's medicine. And it was, and they pay.
Yeah.
It's like $6,300 for a 14-day inpatient thing.
Why is it that much?
Because that pharmaceuticals.
Because he's shit out of his dick now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do they tell you what could happen?
They don't know. Earwax? See, they're waiting to find out what their side effects are. So they're like, take these and write down how you feel every day.
Yeah.
And then.
But the side effects of the ones that come out are crazy.
That's the shit they'd be like,
diarrhea.
Some may see,
That's what y'all did.
Yeah.
That's what y'all got.
We was doing that.
Oh, shit.
So they created the list that the guy reads really fast at the end.
Yeah, like, how you feel today? Oh. I'm about to die. And like, well, it may cause death with people that...
Damn. That's insane. What did it look like? Was it like a white room?
No. There's a hospital. It's a whole hospital. So there'll be like 16 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll give us, each one of us, a pill, and two of us have placebos. That's just how they measure whatever. And so, like, I did the spinal tap. So what they did was they made us take this... This pill, because they wanted to see how much of this medicine was going to your brain.
Right.
So.
What was this supposed to do?
It's supposed to, they're trying to see how much of the medicine, it's supposed to help with Alzheimer's, either slow it down or whatever. They don't tell us. They're like, hey, you're trying out an Alzheimer's drug, QZX4444. They don't want to tell you what it is because one thing that you would do, if you know that there's a, let's say a pharmaceutical, whatever, treatment that's coming out. Mm. Ahead of time, nigga, I'm going to the stock. I'm telling y'all, like, hey man, they working on this fucking
inside trader.
You might want to put 10 racks
on that right there.
And so we wouldn't know what drug it was.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did after like a day, they would lean you back on you. It'd be like two guys in a room. So they made us lean. It's like an epidural. So you'll hunch over. And then they get this needle that's like this long.
That's what you lost me.
I was about to say.
And they stick it up your back, and then they drain all the spinal fluid.
What you mean up your back?
They go up like
up the spine.
Parallel to it. They go up the spine.
It hurt?
Nah, it could, because that's where all your nerves are.
Mm-hmm. So if they miss, you mean?
Yeah. So okay. The dude next to me missed. That nigga passed out.
This day one?
Nigga, this is day. No, this is like day two.
Hold on.
And so we take the medicine.
Hold on. You ever watch a movie? You be like, you can't sit down and watch the medicine. It's just too much. Listen. So are they numbing your back before they stick you with this?
Yeah, they numb our backs.
So he passed out immediately?
So yeah. So if the needle touches any of these little nerves. You can either get like this numbing feel, like you ever hit funny bone, you get that down your leg. or you could pass out. Like, cause you're hitting the nerve. It hit the nerve to do instantly. Boom.
So were you allowed to be like, no?
I could have been like, no. So they like, hey, take it out. So they take it out, and like maybe like a couple seconds later, he kind of comes back to, and he's like, is it done? He's like, well, you can't do the spinal tap, so they end up kicking him out. So he gets like $500. They give him like $500. They kick him out because they can't test him.
But they offered $6,000.
He went in there for 63.
And it messed up. You should be getting 12.
No.
you
sign all the paperwork.
All 14 days.
Yeah, you sign this paper. Wild. This paperwork says that whatever. So he's like, Willie, you okay? I'm like, nigga, I need $6,300. No one does clinical trials because they just like, what you doing tomorrow?
Hey, listen, I don't care if I pass out. Do it. Just keep going.
Just keep.
If the needle's already in there, you're halfway done. Don't pull out.
Wild. All 16 of y'all probably had a wild story.
That nigga was blessing me. Just going.
Damn.
Don't pull out, bro. Go ahead. Just drop that whole thing, man.
Do that whole thing. And there was a lot of clinical trials. So, like, they have some ones that I would love for y'all to look this shit up. Like, they had one where it was $50,000. They wanted to try this heart stop medication. So they were literally going to stop your heart and try this, whatever this procedure is. And then, coming back from death,
yeah. You would have to
50 racks. I didn't qualify. I applied, but they didn't.
You would have done it?
Oh, fuck yeah, man. I was suicidal. Like, at least could send the money to my family.
Okay.
I'm joking. But at the same time, I definitely would have done it. I mean I'm weird.
Heart
like
stop
this.
Medication is pretty crazy. That's
because
crazy.
how these medicines have to be tried on humans.
But hey, you listen, know it stops your heart.
At 50,000 wow though, I would be like, okay, I'll sign the paperwork, but I need to see a defibrillator in the room first before I do it. And also I need a licensed doctor here who has been doing CPR for over 20 years.
You about
years.
To spend your $50,000 on all that?
Nah, fuck that. On their button. They got it. That's my rider.
That's in his contract.
That's my rider. I need that in my room. I need that in my trailer before I can let y'all do this. I need to see this type of shit. But I mean, $50,000, wow.
Damn.
I'd have to sleep on
but
it.
They stop in your heart. They like that's not
so that's
that
a quick
happen.
Note for you?
Yeah, heart stop medication, absolutely.
You must have been doing good in your life.
$50,000 to stop your heart.
You ain't fucked enough, Pat. That let me know right there. I've had some woman lay some puss on me before. I could have swore I died. I was like, can't nothing in the world feel this fucking good. I gotta be dead. I'm dead. Am I dead? I gotta be dead.
Not dead. You in heaven.
Yeah, I gotta be dead. Yeah. I've done it for less. Absolutely.
Gotta keep the. Nah, I don't want.
Listen,
don't
let me tell you something. When I was in college and I was getting my full STD panel, every time I opened up the email or I listened to the, because on Planned Parenthood, you listen to it on the phone. Mm-hmm. Every time it got to the HIV, my heart stopped. So I was like, nigga, I've been doing it. I've been made for this.
Yeah.
I've been practicing for this all my college years. All my collegiate level education would lead me to this level. Form right here. So, oh yeah, fuck it. I've been doing this before. Just do it in the Planned Parenthood voice and I'm okay.
My God.
Damn. Yes. So which ones did you do?
I've done three spinal taps.
Did you get the 6,300?
Oh, I've done three spinal taps. I've done one where they stuck this straw up your nose and go down here, and they pumped water inside me to flush my system out. So, and like it got to a point where I was shitting out just pure water. Because they want to clean out your system.
With the thing still up your nose?
Well, no. Yeah. Because that's how the solution just kind of just dripped down there. And so what they did was they gave you this medicine, and they wanted to see how much of this medicine came out in your stools. How much are you shitting out? Because, you know, there's a certain level of whatever.
It doesn't get processed. It just gets.
And this is how they find out. Mm-hmm. So after I took the medicine and whatever, it cleaned me out, they took the medicine, they gave me like a burger, like a half of a burger and like 7 fries. Eat that. They waited 8 hours. They put the solution back into me. And then I shit. And then they took those studies and that was $3,250. So
they pumped it out, and then you went to another room to shit, or they were just
No.
Their hands out, like, all right, give me your stool.
It was just a
it
Dixie
comes
cup.
Out, they just smash it, and be like, all right, where the petri dishes?
I will never that was, name.
That was it. Just all right, I'm sterile now. Like, damn, that was the experiment. Give me some of this.
I will never name her because y'all know her, but there was another comedian. She was in this study too, and we kind of was like
The boo boo one.
Yeah, the boo boo one. We just kind of.
Los Angeles.
Life be life.
Life be life.
Is that what is the, what do those things be considered one of the craziest things you ever done for money?
Nah, it was probably that one. The nose one was probably the craziest one because when they did this in the way that they would kick you out, this is the wrong place to say this. Right, wrong and right. This is because I'm just now saying it out loud. So they stick it in your nose, and in order to get the tube down here, you have to have like a high gag reflex. Because some people will get hit right here, and they would throw up.
Yeah.
They would throw up. So when they threw up, they kicked them out the study because you can't stick the tube down there. So I'm over here.
So you sucked a lot of long nipples.
So this is the one this is one of the ones you got paid for.
So you were 28 years old. You figured out your secret power.
You made it. So you made it.
This nigga was killing torpedo pops when he was a kid. That bump pop man was so disturbed when he gave him that popsicle and Willie just stuck the whole thing out about the wooden stick.
He was probably expecting to kick him out. He was just like, oh damn, wait a minute. Wait, what's going on? Hey, Willie, what's going on? Were you looking at him? Eye contact?
He winked at him.
Can I take my glasses off of this?
Willie got his whole mouth off. He's like, more. It's like, we don't need to go any further. More.
Willie showed up the day after the trials ended. Oh, we done? Nah, I see a hose in the back. Come on.
That's when they changed his name on the file to Wet Willie.
What you do earlier?
Wet Wild Willie.
Give me another one. You don't gotta pay me or anything.
I had
to do that to survive out here. We didn't have Instacart in 2007, 2008.
This is true.
We didn't have Uber and all these other quick ways. You had to get a job.
Let me tell y'all something humbling.
The test.
Uh-huh. When I moved out here, was trying to, you know, be a purist and not get a real job and all of this shit. So I was an assistant to Tangerine Morton. I was her assistant. And her and CT were together. They weren't married at the time, but they were together. And CT would be on the couch playing the video game and watching the movie. And Tangerine had this little closet that was probably meant for shoes, but she would do her self-tapes and Zoom calls in there. And I was sitting there, and I would type on this computer and I would update her IMDb and I would do a lot of shit. And she, you know, give me like $40, $50 a day or something like that run little errands and shit like that. But I was like, I don't want to get a real job. I need to make a little extra money. Because at the time, I had a V8. Mm-hmm. I had an Infiniti, the old one that I had in the first time I got it. And when I got the car, I didn't realize it took premium gas and I just didn't budget for premium gas. So I was like, I had to do a little something.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to blow through my savings. I had money, but I was like, I'm a prepper. So I'm like, I need to keep a certain amount in here every day. So I just need to get enough to do this. And then I was taking a little eye to end jobs. One time, me and Clint Coley, this nigga Clint had signed up on Fiverr. And this lady hit him up to paint her ceiling in Beverly Hills.
Mm.
Now, this is like a 12, 15-foot ceiling. Exposed beams, like exposed wooden beams.
And he never painted anything?
No, we painted it.
Oh.
But we had never painted before.
That's what I'm saying. It was.
We didn't even have a ladder. We pulled up, and I pulled up in a goddamn Ford Focus hatchback with no ladder. Okay?
Just painting brushes?
Not even that. She said, I'll take care of the painting. We just showed up in clothes. She told us what she wanted, what part, and all of that. And Clint was like, all right, cool. Let's get started. I was like, we got to move this furniture.
This is
nigga.
So funny,
this nigga
bro.
Clint just ready to just
just hop on a ladder and start back. We got to move this furniture.
Did you know about primer and all that stuff?
No primer, no nothing. He got up there after we moved the furniture. He got up there and started painting. I was like, nigga, we got to put the tape along the
so y'all didn't even try to YouTube it.
Bro, we no.
It's hard as it. Just put paint on the wall.
And then it wasn't like a flat ceiling because it has the beams there, and then it was like an arch ceiling on the edge, so it did like this. So you got to... It was the worst fucking job of my life. I hated every... And it took us like 4 days to do it. Because after we finished it on the second day, she was like, I still kind of like... I think I'm going to need a second or maybe a third coat on it. And I'm like, fuck! She's like, was paying us $350 for this shit.
Damn, right? 4 days?
Yes, but she ended up giving us like $800 total because it took so long. And then her kids kept running in and out, and they would run under the fucking ladder.
It's bad luck.
For them.
Yeah, for them.
For them.
For the kids. How does that work? Does luck have a radius? If you on the ladder, does it have...
It's only if you're walking in.
Bro, I was...
Are you sure?
I never would ever do that. It was such a scarring experience for me. I need some stuff around the house done, like some handyman stuff around the house done. Yeah. And like seven people have like, yo, just go on Fiverr.
Oh.
I can't even bring myself to like download the app. Damn. Or go on it. Like, that's how bad it scarred. It was hot in that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Because it was summer and she was trying not to run the air because she was gone and the kid. Bro, we're sweating. Trying to do this shit, sweat running in your eyes. You don't even got a chance because your head is tilted back. It was so bad.
And I don't know why you could really tell when something is painted like by somebody who don't know. Like the little patches and stuff and the unevenness. So I wouldn't even...
The way that they roll.
I'd be so scared. Bro, yeah, right?
We were eating sandwiches from 7-Eleven and painting this lady's house because we were that broke. And the trenches. I mean, when I tell you humble beginnings,
yeah.
Like I thought, like I used to pick up cans at Marty's in Cahokia.
Uh-huh.
You know, Cahokia is on the east side. And when I had my kid in high school, I wasn't old enough to work. I had him when I was 14. So I was 14, 15. I was going over to Marty's, picking up cans, stripping cars of aluminum, breaking down alternators, getting the copper and shit out of that. And then you have to fill a barrel up. You fill a barrel up with all of this shit, and you make it
$30.
You make it $30.
Damn.
It was fucking ridiculous. And so that shit just took me back to that. I was like, I'll never do this shit again.
I will never do this shit again. To live out here has been no joke. From the amount of couch surfing and bicycles stolen before you had a
hats
car.
Hats you don't know how to wear.
Just hats you didn't know how to wear.
It was a rough place.
Golly, and people be looking at you like, how you stay out here? Like people, and it's not, this is an age old one. Like people see the success. People don't see
what it
this
see
other
the
stuff.
Bull.
Like this people, is the first time I told people about clinical trials and that type of shit. Yeah,
that's. I mean, but like when you look at where you came from, real quick, I'm gonna give you the quick flowers. We met in passing, been held in conversation. Found out we were both from St. Louis, and I saw you in Burbank that one time on the street. It was like a festival that had blown down the street. And I think at that time, you were on either a T-Mobile or a Verizon commercial. It was like you with a family and shit like that. Yeah. I was like, I see y'all here, Willie. And Willie was racking up commercials. And I was like, okay, my nigga doing it. And then shortly after that, this motherfucker, he had already told me he was doing property, right? He was doing property back in St. Louis. Shortly after that, this nigga landed an HGTV show. Him and his brother fixing up houses and buildings in St. Louis.
Yeah. That's
insane.
You went from nigga, like, to here. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of what transpired after that, you made it from the bottom. You made it out here in L.A. You're doing your dream. You're getting to do comedy. You're involving your son and your kids and your content. Bro, even if you're not, like, the older you get, the more you start to adjust what you quantify success as.
Yeah.
Because it's not always from a monetary standpoint. Like, sometimes being able to live your dream and just being able to say, I can go with it, get whatever the fuck I want to eat right now, is the success. Because I remember when, like, I do 7-Eleven now to keep me humble, and it's because of certain shit I like. But I remember when it wasn't an option. Like, them hot dogs was the I remember my mom would put $150 when my family first moved out here. She put an extra $150 in my account. This is before I was working at All Deaf and everything. Uh-huh. This was when I was just getting odd one-off dates for Tough Mudder, and I was working at CarMax. She would put $150 in my account, and that would be enough money for us to, like, get some groceries, and then we would order pizza on a Saturday night, and each one of us would have our own pizza, and then we might stream a movie. And that was the bee's knees. That was mm-hmm. a fucking amazing Saturday night for me. We all got our own pizza. We ain't gonna eat all of it, so we're gonna have some for tomorrow. You're excited about waking up eating. That was what I looked forward to sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, and so the older you get, the more you, like, I don't need to be ridiculously wealthy. I don't need a Rick Ross mansion. That would be cool, but honestly, I don't need that. Now that I know more about how money works, you know, that would be better for, like, you know, renting that out to sheiks and shit when they come to the U.S. than me living in it. It's nothing I could do with 40-some-odd rooms. You think you can. You think that shit is dope. You got to think about the fucking upkeep of that shit. 40-some rooms will get dusty as fuck. You got to heat and cool 40-some rooms. That all of that land has to be maintenance. Yeah. He has animals. All of these vehicles. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
I can scale my shit back tremendously. But sometimes you don't realize that until you get older. Yeah. And that's kind of what I was saying. Piggybacking on, like, sometimes you have to do things differently to get what you need or what you want. And switching up a lot of shit that I did this year from what I was doing last year has allowed me to gain the goals that I wanted. But you still have to have that discipline.
Can you tell us what any of that was that you switched up?
Well, one of the things, like I said, I started taking auditions way more seriously. Mm-hmm. I would get auditions from my agent, and I'm like, all right, cool. I look over the script. All right, cool. I'll do this in a little bit. Forget about it. Now it's a couple hours before the shit is due, and now I'm trying to, like,
scramble,
mm-hmm. get off book. But even with auditions, you don't have to be off book. But, like, mm-hmm. all right, cool. I'll do the lights like this, and I'm not really position the lights the way they need to. Now my face is dark, or I might not have read all the way through it, and I didn't read the slate instructions, because, like, now it's different. Sometimes they want you to put your pronouns in there. Sometimes they want you to say if you have your booster, or how many boosters you have, if you're local, all of that type of shit. Just being more thorough and more intentional with my actions. Not trying to hang out. It's people know that me and my wife are poly. So, like, you know, before we started playing together, we were playing separately. And so, you know, maybe instead of going to the comedy club, me and the shit go get drinks or some shit like that. It's like, at this point now, it's like, I don't need none of that shit.
Yeah.
I don't even get the same joy and fulfillment that I used to get from, like, talking to new chicks like that. Like, shit, it just doesn't excite me the way it used to.
Yeah, and some of that
is getting older. Some of it is also, like, just realizing my most precious and valuable resource is my time. Do I want to spend that shit, spending $200 on drinks and dinner of some chicks that I may smash? I don't even know if I'm going to like this chick. And I was like, yeah, you know, if you're open or a swinger, you don't have to, like, really converse and hang with that person. But, like, I'm still giving you some time and some energy.
Yeah.
Are you worth my time and energy?
Yeah.
Just because you got a fat ass or a cute face, that shit don't even move me like that. If you have a good personality and a great sense of humor, that shit is so much more sexier to me than a fat ass and that. So changing different things like that, investing more time in my family, you know what I'm saying? Even though I have the leeway to go out and date other people, I'm in a place comfortably now at my house where I don't want to leave that much.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable at home. So I would rather just be at the crib chilling. Mm-hmm. And, like, that energy, that focus, that groundedness has really reflected in my recent wins, I feel like, because I'm more focused on what I want, making sure my family's secure, making sure that the kid is good, so anything she wants to do, I can help and support her with financially or mentally or emotionally, and then also just being more present, being more intentional with my actions and being more aware of the people I'm surrounding myself with, and so we can, you know, grow together. It ain't like nobody want to be rich by themselves. That shit ain't no fun. So if I can throw Pat something, he can throw me something, I can throw my homeboy something, I can throw my homegirl something who's a chef. Oh, you looking for a chef? I got a homegirl that do this. Right. Are you looking for a driver? My homeboy he just started his fleet. He got 3 vehicles. Boom, boom, boom. You should get with him. Black on biz, boom. So now I'm more so focused about us growing together.
Yeah.
And that really alleviates a lot of time for the fuckery.
For real, bro.
So that's more so what I'm doing now. Just focus on that type of shit.
Time management. Time and energy management, actually.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Because the energy part is very important.
Very important.
I was kicking it. Random ass story. Then I'm gonna go on. Mm. I got this role because somebody I know recommended me to somebody else I know. And somebody else I know saw my face in a casting room or in a boardroom, and they were talking about this new show, and they were like, oh, this person be good. She was like, oh, this is my such and such friend, right? She recommended me. I get a call. Hey, you want to do this role?
Hmm.
All right, cool. Sure. What is it about? I'll send you that. Sent the deck right over. Like, cool. She calls me. They're thinking about you for this person right here. Now, the budget is low because the director is producing it himself, and he's funding it out of his pocket. Way lower than I mean, you know, I get booked. You know, you're a guest star or something like that. That's 4 or 5 digits. Easy, right? Three. We're talking about three per episode. Three digits per episode. But I'm like, I know this person. I trust this person. They got a great track record with me and, like, professionals. So, we take it. Last week, we started shooting. Now, we're shooting extensive because I have to leave. I go back on tour on Friday. So we're shooting heavy. And Wednesday was a fucking 15-hour shoot day, right? Just fucking insane. Tuesday night, the person that connected me and everything got me roll. She was like, hey, come out to dinner with me. I want you to meet some of my friends, right? I'm like, I'm kind of trying to. She was like, oh, well, if you can make it, I would love you to meet my friends. So I say, fuck it. Go out to dinner. I'm hanging with my homegirl, like 4 wilding out girls. Tamela Jones from Booty Call and a lot of other movies. Neo's there with some people, and it's crazy. We go to like 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
I go home, go to sleep, wake up, shoot for 16 hours. Next day, we shoot for 8 hours. I go home, read my script. Next day, I shoot for, I think I was shooting 6 hours. I got off, took a quick nap, did a show. Then my homegirl called me again. She's like, come over to my house. I have my people over. Get over there. More stores, Neo, a couple other people. We out there to like 1 or 2 in the morning, and it was a great time, fucking great time. I'm glad I went because I got to establish like a cool relationship with Neo. Yeah, it's like, yeah. Nigga, the next day I was like, I can't do this shit no more. I can't be hanging out like this and give 100% on set because something is going to suffer from it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, nigga, if I'm not done by 11 or 12 o'clock, I just gotta leave. Because my time and my energy is so important, I can't be the best me on set and give the performance that I want to continue to help make me a household name if I'm just trying to kick it and shit. So I go in, I make a lasting impression. If a person fuck with me hard enough, they'll get my contact or they'll figure out how to get my contact. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you got to leave them wanting more.
Just like on stage.
You know what I'm saying? Every comic looks for that big-ass roar to get off of stage. Sometimes you're not. If you did a great job, you did a great job. Yeah. You don't have to finish with the grand finale. Leave them motherfuckers wanting more.
Yeah.
So they be like, man, I got to find out where the next place the person going to be. But we always feel like we got to go so hard. It's like, nah, I'm reeling back. I'm reeling back so much and so fucking hard. Like, I used to love going on vacation. I still do. But now I'm just going to, like, if I need to get away, me and the family just go somewhere, and I can work from that place for a week, even if it's, like, Palm Springs or Joshua Tree or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But my mental space and my peace is of the utmost importance of me right now. I got to do that. I got to protect it at all costs. So.
I think your body can actually be charged, even if it's, like, people think you got to be like, oh, I'm going to go to Greece to recharge. It's not like that. You can literally just get a nice hotel somewhere and just separate yourself from your normal environment. Because I think that we really need to, it might already be studied, but we really need to study that feeling you get when you come back from vacation. Because it do feel like you're recharged and ready to do more and be more productive. And I don't think you need to do all that much to get that. Like you said, you can just separate yourself for a few days. Mm-hmm. And even if everybody comes with you, I think that change of environment kind of is like putting us on the charger. And you just kind of like need to do that. A lot of people really don't do that.
I have to go somewhere where, like, Joshua Tree is perfect for me. Joshua Tree, Palm Springs, because I'm 2 hours away. Because if I'm just, like, at a different hotel close by and somebody hits me like, yo, we here tonight, I'll be tempted to leave.
Yeah.
Right.
So I have to remove myself from my normal environment, like, really, like, at least an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. So I'm not tempted to try to make a drive and all of that shit because I will get caught up in it.
Yeah,
FOMO is real. Like, I didn't really realize how
this.
That shit is real.
When I'm out of town, my agent calls me like, hey, can you be here tomorrow? I'm like, I told you that I'm in such and such state. I can't make it. And it'd be like an audition, and in the back of my mind, I'd be like, fuck.
Yeah.
That could have been the.
Yeah. But you can't live on the what ifs and could have been, should have been. You'll drive yourself crazy. Man.
Hell yeah.
You got to really remember, like, what's for you is for you. Got to make a way. You know, he ain't bring you this far just to bring you this far.
No.
That's really what I remind myself. All the trials and shit, I'd be like, man, I got to be here for a reason, bro. Mm-hmm. If nothing else, to be a testimony to somebody else that might be going through that shit, you got to be here. Because I know, you know, you've talked about it a little online. You just recently had a very, very life-changing occurrence in your life.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you feel comfortable talking about it or
no,
or,
I can talk about it.
And this is something very serious. A lot of people may not know about this, but I'll let you take it from here.
My daughter, 17 years old, passed away on March 5th to this year. And
sorry to hear that,
appreciate it. But it's one of those things where you start to just look at what does it all mean, mm-hmm. and all. But death is either very... There's a lot, I mean, I'm saying this in like a couple different ways. It's very eye-opening for one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, she wasn't the one I would have gambled on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought it would be me, maybe Mal, maybe anybody, not her.
Mm-hmm.
Cause she's gonna be the one to take care of me when I get older.
Mm-hmm.
And Malcolm was on FaceTime with her. Cause they FaceTime every night. She died in her sleep. He saw her go to sleep, thought nothing of it, not knowing that his sister was gonna not wake up mm-hmm. the next day. And for me to have to tell him this 3 days prior to this, 3 days prior to her passing away, his best friend just got shot in the face with an altercation at the gas station. So he's going through it already. I've been talking him off the ledge. Already, like, come on, man, you know, do this for Andrew. Just come on, man, woo-woo. Then they get the call. Hey, Will, just gotta let you know. Go, you tell Malcolm that his sister passed away. What? And to make that, and as we're driving, we're all just crying and all of this. Then around maybe 15 days later, so she passed away on the 5th. The funeral was on the 26th. So maybe around, let's say, the 15th, it hits me. Like, she had fibromyalgia. She had lupus. She had an autoimmune disease that they couldn't even figure out what's wrong with it. I'm like, she was in a walker. I'm like, my baby girl ain't in pain no more.
Mm.
She was struggling. The way, if you get a toothache, was her entire body. And there wasn't medicines that would stop it. It would numb the pain down, but it wouldn't stop the pain. So she's in constant pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, all right, God, this happened. We always tell other people condolences, or, you know, you see then someone pass, like, oh, man, whatever. I'm here. I'm not supposed to be here right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not this soon, because I got some things that was about to take off, and she was going to experience this with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, what did you want me to learn from this? And I noticed the change of just even my stand-up is coming from like I don't care. Mm-hmm. Y'all can't tell me shit. Mm-hmm. I lost my best friend, my daughter, and I don't care how this set goes. This is what you're going to get. I had my JFL call back a couple days ago, and I went on stage, and the first things that came out of my mouth was, I'm like, guess I gotta make y'all motherfuckers laugh in order to change my life, huh? And I just looked at
it. It's pretty real.
It's very real. It's very real.
So y'all.
Y'all are the determining factor. I don't even know you, sir. There's some of y'all in here without a job, and you get to determine my fate. That's the craziest shit ever.
Damn. Do you not know what I had to do to be on this motherfucking stage right now?
Mm-hmm.
Gave him that slice of realness. Man, like, you thought you were going to hear jokes?
That first...
This is real.
Attempt at JFL, you get 3 minutes?
Yeah.
3 minutes to make somebody laugh. I have to prove to you and these judges that I am worthy of your consideration in 3 minutes. And I'm already at a disposition, because they're only going to allow so many black people in. You can say whatever you want.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
But the reality is they're only going to give so many slots away to black people. And I don't give a fuck what you say.
Yeah.
I don't care. You're not going to convince me otherwise. You're not. And some of it is racism truly at play. Some of it is like, The same way that black people love to see representation, white people want to see representation too.
Yeah.
It's a numbers game. They're going to only allow so many black roles in certain shows. They're only going to allow so many black leads in certain, you know, franchises and things of that nature. It just is what it is.
It is what it is.
It's no different from when they did 12 Years a Slave and when they were doing the marketing for it over in Europe. They had to have Brad Pitt at the top of the fucking poster. Brad Pitt was in 12 Years a Slave all of 5 minutes and 15 seconds. Mm. But he's on the top of the poster like he is the leading star.
That's wild. 12 Years of Slave with Brad Pitt. Just like,
this shit is crazy. And this is the shit we willingly endure. We endure this shit with a hope of making it. There's no blueprint.
None.
There's no guarantee.
Nope.
There are not enough books that you can study to ensure your success. Going there on a hope and a prayer.
Hope and a prayer. Where everybody else is hoping and praying at the same time. You're seeing all the comics in the back pacing around. And I'm just like this. I'm like, will y'all calm the fuck down? I get it. I've been there. I got stage fright. I understand. But I don't want to get this stage fright because I'm like, I got to do this or else. Nah, I don't even like that pressure. Because what Tahir's saying is like, this industry, there's already so many that's going to have. I did an Applebee's commercial, and I'm the only black person in it, had white counterparts. And they was like, a DP was tripping off the light. And he's like, oh, I can't figure out this fucking light. And they was like, what's wrong? And they's like, come look. And they look and they say, like, oh, you need to go get the Taye Diggs light.
Wow.
Apparently, Taye Diggs is usually the only black person in a lot of his projects, or he's the darkest one. So they had this special light where
they
like
call it the Taye Diggs light.
Yeah.
I'm assuming white people said this too. Oh,
100%. I wonder if he knows that.
That's I don't know.
We have a friend that knows Taye Diggs, and I'm going to hit her up and like, does Taye know that?
And so it's a person standing like right in front of me, holding one of those Kino flows. He's not. He
knows that. Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's just doing this with me, and I'm over here so embarrassed, bruh. I'm like, why don't y'all turn the light down? Why don't you turn the light up and block the light off them? Why I got to be the motherfucker?
Was it a Kino?
Well, it was just
a little extra bump of light because they're not lighting the actual set properly. That's what I'm going to say. Because they shouldn't have to bring it.
Have you ever heard that term? Taye Diggs light?
Never heard Taye Diggs light. There's other, definitely other terms.
Nigga light?
She's like, that's the one I use.
The jig-a-boom?
Just get straight to it.
Illuminated?
Just get straight to it.
Can we get the spook in the corner light?
Nig light.
We got the spook
Bring
in the corner
the
light?
Light?
Where's that at IKEA?
Jesus, where's lighting? Can we bring the Zamunda light out? Do we have the Zamunda light ready? Hello, bad boy.
Usually here it's the opposite, actually. There's too many black people and there's only one white person. Then they're like, now this guy looks like he's a ghost. And everyone else looks well lit. So.
It's the Matt Damon light then? Give me the Damon. Break out the Damon.
It's a black light.
Hey, how'd you do it? How was the 3 minutes when you came out?
Oh, nah. I crushed it.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
But now it's just
in
a
that
scene.
Mode.
Yeah. Because even if you kill, there's still a little politics in play.
There's a lot of
other little variables.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to go. I feel like I'm going to be there. I was the most authentic version of myself. And like my daughter left her face mask in the front of my place the last time she was there. And it's still there. I leave it. Every time I leave out the house, I just tap it. Just a little. Just for you.
The day. Just like the whole day.
This
for you.
This is for you. So my intentions are different. How I spend my time. How I listen to conversations. Because even though we were talking earlier about just like how our futures can change. Like we can change our lives in just an instant. I could throw this right here, hit you upside the head. Now, the whole course of history has changed. You hate me, maybe whatever. It's a ripple in time, and we all have the power to change a ripple in time by any decision that I make. I could take your glass, break it. Now it's a whole. You take mine.
Did you see Everything Everywhere All at Once?
I did not.
So in that movie, the way they discuss like parallel dimensions, it's that exact same way. And the way they go to like travel to them, are like, okay, I'm gonna throw this at someone, and then down the in the future, it affects something super huge that then affects the present. But that's exactly how they describe it in that way. Mm-hmm. It's like in that moment, doing something wild will set off a chain reaction that will then affect.
It's crazy.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That whole show, that new show, Beef, mm-hmm. on Netflix is like that. It's like one little road rage accident leads into these people's life just negative, 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 and they just keep seeing
spiraling,
each other. And keep,
yeah.
It just spiraling, and it all comes down to you. Just if you just didn't honk or didn't flick somebody off, it's just like that one little decision led to this whole shit that did not need to happen.
And then it's vice versa.
Mm-hmm. The, you know, it's crazy because we got to get ready and get up out of mm-hmm. here. They're going to be here in the
four. No, you're good.
Okay. Because this is such a real conversation. It's crazy how death gives you certain perspective. And even in that time of trauma, it sometimes brings you peace.
Mm-hmm.
And that peace is humbling, is grounding, and it sometimes restores your vision of what is important. And it sounds like that's what it did for you,
yeah.
especially when it comes to like comedy, because, you know, the anxiousness that we get before we hit the stage is, you know, that should be studied too, because it's no settling. Like, even if you know you got a foolproof set, like, there's still a little anxiousness, like, what if they ain't fucking with this,
mm-hmm.
right? But to have that peace when you go out there, I'm like, well, this is me. And, you know, us coming, me and my wife coming open about being poly, like, it gave me that. Because I was terrified of, you know, certain people, you know, and their opinions and speculations. Like, anytime you tell somebody you're doing something out the normal, you know, the feedback is varied, right? And so you tell people that you're poly, anything like that, it's like they automatically assume that you're a sexual deviant. A lot of people who aren't aware about lifestyle, they be like, oh, you just fucking everybody. You probably wanted to fuck me the whole time. Like, but I still had standards. Let's reel it back here, you know? So, but being free like that wake up every morning and be like, I'm just living who I am, is also rewarding,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's that thing I talk about getting older, you be like, I'm okay with yeah. everybody not liking me. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't please everybody.
It's mm-hmm. impossible.
It's very impossible. I mean, you look at the highest grossing movie, whatever it is, you'll find somebody that does not care for
shit.
It.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's like, well, if this movie can't do it, this artist can't do it, hell, there are people who judge Jesus. Who am I to think that I can make everybody love me? I'm giving these people too much credit.
We picked an industry that don't even have stats like that. It's
very true.
It's not like we picked an industry where you could just put up numbers and be like, this is how good he did. Like, the funniest person on earth can be trashed to the next person. There's no... So how could you even expect to...
Yeah.
It's literally impossible.
And it's subjective, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you ask... You know, I ask you who's the favorite comedian. Anybody in this room... You know, you might get three different answers, but it might not be me. I asked my mom, who's the funniest comedian. She's going to say me.
Yeah.
It's subjective. It's like you bring in three different judges for that setup. They're going to give you probably completely different answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, you have to learn to accept the things that you cannot control. Embrace it. Accept it. Respect it. Even if you don't like it, you know. There's just certain things you can't control. And it's like, man, listen, focus on what you can.
Yeah.
Find the happiness in that.
Yep.
Be satisfied with that. You know, you're not going to win everything, but you're not going to lose everything either.
Nope.
So that balance is, and recognizing that balance is a goal, not a goal, but a strength.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to lean on them. Like, all right, this is one of my turn yet. And I get it, because I just went out. I couldn't talk about it at the time. It's some NDAs, but I went out for some Marvel shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I killed it. And then I got a second review thing, and I was like, I know. You ever had one? You audition, you're like, oh, I know, I know, I killed that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, from the clothes I auditioned in, I put time into lighting, I put time into getting off book. I killed that. My wife did an amazing job reading with me.
Yeah,
I was proud of us. If we had won that, it would have changed our lives, and that would have been a fucking win for the books.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't meant to be.
Wasn't meant to.
Not
be.
Not right now. And that's cool, because maybe I got some more learning to do. That amount of money come in is going to change my life forever. I need to learn how to do X, Y, and Z before I get that blessing like that. So, like, now I'm learning to accept and not just accept, but welcome the L's and turn those into lessons, because I never know what I could fuck up by getting something too soon.
Here's something. Oh, here's a test the story. So... 2021, January, maybe 2nd, 2021, I booked the AT&T commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be a Super Bowl spot.
Oh,
now, I just came from doing Utah, and I found out I had COVID.
Oh,
So I need this. This is Super Bowl. This is, you know, it'll be some nice little piece of paper. So I figured out, I was like, hey, I called my homeboy up. I said, hey, man, I need you to go and take this test for me. He was like, for real? I'm like, yeah, because I got it, and you know, but I need this gig.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, all right, I'm going to do it. He's like, what's the spot for? I'm like, oh, it's for AT&T. It's the one with Demi Lovato and that and that. And he's like, oh, snap. I'm on a veil for that. So if you don't get it, I will. So, nah, I'm not going to do it. I'm like, dude, I'll give you $300 right now. He was like, nah, I'm not going to do it. So I was like, dang. So
you call an actor friend?
Yeah. Because he looked like me. He had fro glasses, comic, whatever. So I call somebody else to do it. He's like, all right, I'm gonna do it. He's like, I don't really look like you. I'm like, man, put a face mask on, some glasses, and a hoodie and a hat. These are white folks. They're not gonna really, really trip off there. Mm-hmm. So I go. I end up we there. And he goes, take the test. We driving back. I'm like, thank you very much. Appreciate it. So we driving. And this dude says,
no way.
This dude. I'm like, what's up, man? You good? He's like, well, I'm good, man. I just got my first negative test result yesterday.
No, he didn't tell you earlier?
He didn't tell me earlier. So I drop him off, and I'm like, he's like, I'm good, though. I promise you, whatever. Give him the $300. And then I end up calling one of my white friends. I was like, man, it's because I get a text from production, like, hey, we're going to also test you on set. So now I'm like, I'm fucked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to do. Call my boys up. They said, hey, this some redneck shit. They's like, if you rinse your nose out with bleach, you can pass any test.
You could pass on also. The worst. Yeah. That was the worst advice I've ever heard.
Let me see if I still have this photo because I took a.
What? You didn't
so,
do well.
So listen.
Hurt.
It was the most painful experience I ever.
You did the bleach
did.
Thing?
I did it. It was rubbing alcohol. It was just equally as.
Equally as bad.
Yeah, equally as bad.
Like, well, if you ever get drink up your nose or anything like that?
So, you ever had water up your nose? Damn near done. So this is how I looked. After I did it, I took a picture of my face. I was like, man, shit. I think I'm about to die. I'm like, my eyes started turning red. I started sweating. I do the test. It passes, right? So they come to me. They was like, just got to let you know that you can't do the spot, though. And I'm like, what? Why? They're like, the test that you took yesterday tested positive for COVID.
So your scapegoat had COVID,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. The guy, so they're like, you can't do the spot. So I'm over here. I'm pissed, obviously. I'm cussing God out. I'm like, why'd you even let me get this far if I couldn't have this? Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Next month, I book Verizon and make 7 times more than I would have on that AT&T.
And you probably wouldn't have because of the clause.
Yeah,
it
would have been a clause.
Damn.
Listen.
I stop questioning shit, man.
That is one of the things that I also learned this year. My wife used to always tell me this. We used to do these events at this little bar, and it'd be packed. And I'm like, man, if I just had 20 more people. So I hop on the phone. I'm trying to text people to come out, right? And it didn't matter how packed it was. I always felt like I needed more, right? My wife was like, you got to be comfortable with what you have. Like, you do a good job promoting. You just got to be, if it's 80 people, great. If it's 50, great. They still came out. You got to learn how to be comfortable with what you have and not trying to force things, right? And then a really good friend, my other best friend, told me the exact same thing. And now I find myself in these situations where I start thinking, I'm like, man, if I had it, I'll stop immediately. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm thankful for what I have. I'm blessed. I have my health. I have the activity in my limbs. I'm good.
Yeah.
And I stopped trying to force things. Like, and when you're talking about that, I'm hearing you, and it's like, this is me trying to force this vacation or to force a house to look for or force a way to figure out how to get this, whatever the fuck. But, like, I would put so much energy into trying to force something, and I should have let it go on the first attempt that didn't work out. And it's a difference between having diligence and perseverance than forcing something. Because a lot of the things that I'll be trying to force is not something that's going to advance my career. It's really probably something that's just going to cost me more money.
Right.
Right?
But I'm trying to force it so bad and just wheel a circle into a square, and it's not working. Then I get frustrated. Now my attitude's bad. Now I'm fucking up the energy in the house, all because I couldn't let something go. And when you're talking about that, I'm like, damn. This is, damn, and it's another one of those lessons that I learned that I took into this new year and, you know, really have been cognizant and present of when I'm about to go down that spiral and stopping myself before it happens. And my energy has been tremendously better because of it.
That's a good idea. Because, I mean, you could damn near miss out on having fun at the party worrying about those getting those extra 20 people. And now it's like, oh, damn, I was worried that whole time instead of just having fun. I think we're always thinking of the next level and like that next phase. That it's hard to enjoy where you're at, you know, especially that's why it's like, you know, you see even today, like sometimes you go somewhere and you get your flowers or you give somebody their flowers and their reaction is like, damn, I forgot I did all that stuff. Or like, damn, that was a lot of stuff, because you're always just what's next, thinking about that next thing. And it's really hard for us to just be like, this is dope. This is dope. You know, usually you wait till it's over and you'd be like, damn, that era was really cool. But now it's like every time you're like, no, this is dope, and you don't want to be stagnant, so you still want to work for that next level. But sometimes we get obsessed with the next level that you forget where you at, and then, you know, chances are there's people whooping their own ass to get to where you at. But we don't see that because we doing the same. It's a really weird staircase.
You have to learn, and I mean, we are all guilty of it. I make it a point to point out my friends' successes and giving them their flowers. I do it all the time to Pat. I tell this motherfucker how creative he is. This motherfucker, bro, I don't even understand the way his brain works, dude. It's crazy. This motherfucker did one. This one would be one of my favorite ones is when he did how Egyptians used to rap, like an Egyptian rapper, and he was like, bird, Pharaoh. Oh, like, whoa.
I forgot. It was like Lady with Bass. Bird,
papyrus. They're rapping in hieroglyphics.
Yeah, it was just rapping in hieroglyphics.
And it was just like,
hilarious.
Who thinks like
that? I forgot about that.
I mean, just like, I appreciate other people's talent so much. And like, I just never want a day to go by or anything to happen and my friends not know how much I love and appreciate them and their artistry and what they bring to it. It'd be those little small things that I think about and it make me smile on a fucked up day. And I'm like, oh, nigga, that's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, those little things, it's such a blessing when we, you know, encounter them, and that's something that we latch on to, because it's like, man, I can really appreciate that shit.
Yeah. So. That's what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you, man. And back to you, Tahir.
For sure.
All right, before we get out of here, man, tell them about the HGTV show, because that was fucking dope as shit and groundbreaking as hell.
So HGTV, I've actually been trying to sell. I was trying to sell that show for 5 years. So the true E Hollywood story is, I was working at a production company. I'm gonna give y'all the short one. I was working at a production company, and I was listening. I used to be a reality TV show editor, and so I heard them, the development department, complaining about they like HGTV is looking for diverse shows. They ain't got no people of color, so we got to come up with some ideas. And I told them, I was like, "Oh, me and my brother flip homes," and it's like, "Whatever, Willie." Like, they brushed me off.
Mm-hmm.
So I went home to St. Louis, and when me and John bought, we had like two homes at this time, and I filmed everything. I filmed it on a couple of phone cameras. I had a little Canon one, and then I edited it together. I knew how to edit. I was an editor. So I put together this sizzle, and I showed it to them. Like, look at this. This is us. They were like, nah, really. I mean, this is cool and all, but nah, stick to editing and whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, they love to keep people in boxes in L.A.
Well, don't they, though?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, because if you move on, then, like, now we got to hire someone else to edit. So.
I get it, but it's still like, fuck, bro.
So I end up throwing it up on YouTube. And I was like, I threw it up on YouTube and I put like $300 on promotion. Mm-hmm. And I used the hashtag HGTV. I used the hashtag home improvement. Da, 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 da. And so now production companies started reaching out to me.
Mm.
2017, 2018, whatever. So then in 2020, Black Lives Matter became a really big thing. And there was a hashtag called HGTV So White. And so now they like, oh, snap.
They caught us.
Yeah.
HGTV is visual anthropology. They ain't got no nothing for black people in that bitch.
Oh, that's funny. The only free people in there is the clothing. So another production company found us, and we started developing the idea. We shot the sizzle in 2020. We got greenlit in 2021.
By HGTV. Okay.
So they was going like, all right, bet it's happening. But they didn't want. They wanted to show that they tried. So they gave us. Our showtime was on Wednesday morning at 8 a.m.
Is that good?
No.
No, that's terrible.
People are going to work. HGTV, maybe?
No, they're going. People are going to work.
Eastern Standard Time.
I thought that, I don't know what age group.
Kids aren't watching TV in that.
Kids aren't watching HGTV. 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 a.m. Yeah. PST.
Oh,
I see nobody's
what you're
up. Nobody, and nobody's if they are up, they're not
they're watching,
watching that.
HGTV. Damn. So they end up canceling the show, saying based on the numbers, we're gonna go ahead and cancel it. So
that's
end up canceling it. But I always have the credit of so the show was on HGTV.
Season?
Oh, huh?
Did they give a season?
No, 3 episodes. We did like 3 episodes, and then the house stuff, me and my brother really do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We just bought 3 commercial buildings in St. Louis now. Like, this is what we do.
That's crazy.
My brother is the one who's one of the people who I was couch surfing on when I was out here and doing like one of those rough periods. Mm-hmm. And I end up getting this commercial that kind of changed my life. And my brother said, what are you doing with the money that you making from these commercials? I was like, oh, man, I got stacked up in the bank. He's like, you're so stupid. I said, what? He's like, you know how much money you are losing by leaving it in the bank? You could just be bringing that to St. Louis and start buying these properties and renting them out. And then, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. We're going to get into these tax lien sales. I was like, all right, cool. So that's kind of a conversation that we had ended up taking, where all this even started happening. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's so dope.
That's hella dope.
That really shows that like people don't want to help you out until you prove it works, and then all of a sudden they want to act like they there. You know.
So
it's good that y'all did it yourself.
Olive and 270, which is like they're building a Costco there and a Target there. Uh-huh. So we're gonna have an event center. We're gonna have a coffee shop. Is Max Coffee House is what it's gonna be called. We're already roasting our own beans in a co-working space.
Damn.
So that's
a lot of shit.
It's a lot of shit, right?
Bro, that's because I stay out there when I go to the city. I do not stay in the city.
Yeah.
I do not stay in the city. They'll catch you out there. I took him to St. Louis for the first time in December, and we did a live episode of the podcast, and we did it by Hair Stowe in those new buildings over there, new businesses and shit like that. But we stayed in U City. I can't stay in the city too close to the city because you ain't gonna be looking for trouble. Man. Trouble will find you. If you're just hanging out on Kings Highway, give it 30 minutes. Yeah, Kings Highway and Natural Bridge, give it 30 minutes.
Goody,
goody. Give it 30 minutes. From any part of the day?
Give it 30 minutes.
Even in the morning?
It's a White Castle's right across the street on that corner. If White Castle's don't get you, some shit at the BP gonna get you. If the BP, I remember one of my homeboys, old lady, used to work at that bank right there. Bank got robbed broad daylight. It was like 2 p.m. I was like, who the fuck is robbing a bank at 2 p.m.?
Listen fucking here. St. Louis.
Kings Highway
sounds
lovely.
Wow. I'm looking for this photo that someone just sent me. They was like, y'all always stay on top of the chart of murders.
Yeah.
And
sheesh. Murder capital probably 12 years in a row.
12 years strong.
Yeah. They got t-shirts.
15 most dangerous cities. Number one, St. Louis.
Yeah.
We got Nikki.
And it's crazy because
Nikki repping.
Yeah. It's crazy because Chicago probably has more violence, but per capita, St. Louis wins because it's a much smaller city and it's pure concentrated violence.
Jesus.
You know, it's crazy. Yeah. So
you guys
like,
talking about East St. Louis specifically?
No. East St. Louis, man.
That's in Illinois. That's a whole different story. That's
is that more or less dangerous?
It's weird because right now, the poverty is so high, people are really just trying to survive there. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's still violence there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it doesn't make the news as much because it's so high poverty. Like, news channel, it's got to be some real shit to go down there, like multiple bodies.
If the 99 Cent Store was a city, it would be East St. Louis.
All right, well, first of all, you won't have to do that. What you doing right now?
What would St. Louis be?
St. Louis would be...
It would be Kmart. It'd be Kmart.
Is Kmart around still?
No, it's not. It's not, but just a comparison, too.
They're in perpetual closing, so anyone you find that is actually open is probably
Dillard's.
In a way of closing itself.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they really feel like they got their shit together, but it's like, hold on, bitch, you're not Target. You Kmart. So let's just reel it. Let's just...
Burlington Coat Factory.
Yeah, let's just reel it back in. But I mean, like, I'm thankful for the city I'm from. St. Louis, if you can survive it, you can survive anywhere. It will make you a hustler. It will make you, you know, have perseverance because you have a lot of shit stacked against you, especially if you're a creator, because there aren't a lot of creative outlets there. You don't have a lot of roles for upper mobility when it comes to creativity there. You're either going to be a rapper or you're going to be in sports. Damn. And then the percentage of those people that get out is very low as well. Mm-hmm. So they don't encourage creative thinking. So, I mean, Missouri was one of the last northern states to abolish slavery. They was holding out. They was like, nah, it's going to turn back. It is very segregated. Very segregated. Like, literally, you can tell when you're leaving a black neighborhood going to a white neighborhood and vice versa. Like, it's visibly.
Yeah, it doesn't blend at all. Yeah, it's just
seeing that.
A lot of edges is fucked up. A lot of edges is so fucked up.
There's no fade.
I didn't know there was so much like gothic looking architecture. It seems like every building looked like Batman was on top of it.
There are hippies a lot of gargoyles. Hate on me in the comments today. God damn, she on my ass for every word.
Hippie.
This is on my ass. You know what? Fuck it. We ending this goddamn episode. Y'all got enough. Y'all don't appreciate these jewels. Anyway, Willie Mac, thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
Great amazing episode. Story, bro. I can't wait for you to say that you're about to drop the goddamn book, man, because I know it's got to be coming.
Book coming too. That's going to happen.
We ain't even getting to the everything. This motherfucker has a trick. Man. He does those. Well, I don't know if you do it on stage. I've seen you do it on a podcast.
I take my teeth, my dentures out.
Oh, what? Whoa!
First of all,
he let the top out on the Maybach.
I didn't know he was gonna take the center middle out.
It wasn't the whole thing.
What the hell is the center middle?
It's the T tops. You dropped the T tops.
That was the center middle.
My mother had got Lamborghini doors. Lamborghini door mouth ass.
Shout out. Do you always wear the thing, or do you just be going with
sometimes
the whole?
Sometimes I go without. It's like, picture it like a woman's bra. Like, it feels comfortable without wearing.
So when you get home, you be
God, I put it in my denture cleaner. Let the little fizz.
You ever like drink soup through it?
I've left my things at home before.
Oh,
like I'll just drive out and I'll be like going to an audition. I'll be like, so then I gotta do my audition like this. I gotta talk a little like 50, you know. I really do.
You
like
be leaving the bottom middles.
Know, I'm too young to think that I need to wear. Not now, but like the first few years of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sheesh. I understand. I'm one bridge in, and probably want to get another one on this side.
Mm.
I mean, teeth will. Feel young and youthful, but you have some teeth problem. That shit will date you.
Eyes
on soft foods immediately. Grapes, goddamn me, fig Newton bars, goddamn me, prunes. I mean, some noodle. Give me some tenders.
Eat ice. Do you know people that eat ice?
Oh, that's what really fucked us up.
That's crazy.
Ice and sweet tea. Ronnie said it yesterday on Zoom with the homies. Sweet tea has killed so many back teeth. Just taking these niggas out, man.
You ever left them in a bite?
No.
If you ate something too hard and it came out.
There's certain things I won't eat because it does hurt.
Oh, shit.
I feel it. It is uncomfortable.
It's on your gum.
Yeah, it's on my gum. Like, you putting something in your mouth and then, I want to spit this shit out.
That's crazy. That was a cool little surprise.
I will say, if I'm with a female, though, I will, like, not take them out for a while. Like, I'll go to bed, because you're not supposed to wear these more than, like, 16, 17 hours.
Oh, but you'll just...
But I'll
thug it out.
You spend the night.
Yeah.
You got to set an alarm to get up before her. He got like, running to the bathroom, trying to get his face together.
And so she's like, oh, I'm like...
You gotta secure the draws first.
How you doing? Good morning.
Well, listen, man, tell the people where they can find you at, all your socials, all your handles. If you got a website, drop all of that. And if you got any projects coming up, please let the people know so they can know where they can find you and support you.
Yeah, Willie Mack on everything, WILLIEMACC. I got a podcast with my boy Danny Afro Noodles. Look that up. And my son's podcast, AO. It's on my Willie Mac page, so just find it there.
It's called
and,
AO?
Yeah.
Oh, so he knows he says that.
Like, oh, yeah, okay, he knows. Cool. He says that before every single one. Yo. And then y'all send y'all good vibes and stand up and, you know, just...
We out here, man.
We out here.
As always, ladies and gentlemen, I'm to hear more.
I'm Patrick Cloud.
And this has been another episode of Damn Internet, You Scary. We didn't get to do the opening, but we just got to have Willie Mac back, and we'll do two open next.
Oh, yeah.
Thank y'all so much for watching Scary Squad. More mild love y'all. We'll see you next week on another episode of Damn Internet, You Scary. Peace, guys.
Later, guys.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.